Listen, for I will speak noble things, and then the opening of my lips will reveal right things. I said 2 weeks ago, I know it seems like forever, back in the past, things move so quickly in these days, but I said 2 weeks ago that merely preaching on Proverbs was insufficient. Not a bad thing, but insufficient in and of itself. I got home and my wife said to me, I liked what you said, but you made it sound like you weren't going to preach on Proverbs anymore. I said, oh no, that's not what I intended to convey. Rather, my insistence was simply that to preaching, something else must be added. Something else must be added. And I gave that something else the label conversation. Conversation. Talk together amongst ourselves about things that matter. Talk together amongst ourselves about things that matter. The use of the lips, the mouth, the formation of words, conversation, talk together. This is the element that must accompany preaching in the community if we are to gain maximum benefit from our sharing together in the Word of God. Let's bow our heads briefly before we continue. Lord, help us to grasp these themes that come from the book of Proverbs. Bring them home to our hearts in such a way that your life in us is the result. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, you can't spend much time in the book of Proverbs without coming to the conviction that conversation, the use of the mouth, the use of the lips, engaging together in talk, you can't spend long in Proverbs without coming to the conviction that conversation is of foundational importance. I was just looking again this morning, reading here and there in the commentary that I had purchased on Proverbs, and he said there's two themes that are preeminent in the book of Proverbs, and this was one of them. Communication, conversation, the use of words in the life of the community. So you can't spend much time there without coming to this conviction. In fact, we can confidently say that the nature of the conversation within the community of faith determines the spiritual health of that community. We want to measure where we're at. We want to see how healthy we are in our spiritual walk. We should pay attention to the kind of conversations that we share with each other. Not just in the moments when we feel we're supposed to sound spiritual or talk about spiritual things, but in all the moments that we share together. We can tell the health of the community in this way, its vibrancy and its vigor. But above all, it's the nature of the conversations that happen in our midst. It's the nature of those conversations that provide or fail to provide real help to real people with real challenges, burdens, and problems. Words are that important. Words are actually the primary source of help in our lives. Words that come from God to us, words that are taken in, assimilated, worked out in our lives, and then words that are shared with others who are also seeking to walk this path of learning and growth and faithfulness to God in a world that rarely values any of these things. Words are important. Communication, conversation. And so that's why I asserted that preaching alone is not enough. We need conversations. Conversations between us and the course, the daily course of our lives. Now, the addition that I'm proposing to preaching in the life of the community might be represented in our minds by the picture, and I know this doesn't fit our culture so much, but we can go back into the times of the Bible, and we see this picture. It's not hard to bring up in our minds the picture of elders at the gate. Elders at the gate. It's a great phrase to fix in our minds all that we are trying to say and all that we mean about this idea of conversations, life-giving conversations that take place in the community. Now, it's not that such conversations only take place at the gate with the leaders of the community. No, not only there. Nor that such conversations only take place by the elders or leaders in the community. But take note of this. The elders at the gate, the elders, the leaders in any given community, are responsible to set the tone and the pattern for the conversations that occur within that community. They're mapping things out, as it were. They're setting the example. They're leading people higher by the kind of conversations that the leaders share together with each other. And so the elders at the gate, they are to engender elevated, listen carefully, try to take these words in, elevated and important conversations. The elders are to engender elevated and important conversations as the norm within the community. What happens if the elders don't engender elevated and important conversations as the norm for communication within the community? Well, if those things are not engendered, a human tendency takes over. Proverbs also has a lot to say about the mouth of fools. And unless we are being infused with this higher pattern, unless we are taking wisdom in and learning to use our mouths well, our lips well, then it's not just likely, but it's almost inevitable that what takes over is a level of conversation that Proverbs was described as foolish. And so how vital it is that these kinds of conversations, that these kinds of conversations are modeled and inculcated in the community by the example and the pattern that the leaders in that community are setting. Now, we might pause and ask for just a moment, when such conversations are not taking place, what else happens? I've mentioned that we fall into foolish patterns of superficial conversation or meaningless conversation, or even worse yet, conversation which is calculated primarily to elevate myself. We fall into those kinds of things. That's the problem of foolishness. But there's other tragic results as well when the norm for conversation within the community falls to a lower level, and that is this. People When this kind of conversation is not happening, people regularly run up against problems in their lives. And in the absence of wise conversation, they haven't got a clue as to how to move forward and out of those problems. Do you see, when we don't engender this kind of conversation that I'm urging, we get stuck. We get spiritually stuck. We get mired down, and we don't have a clue as to where to find answers or to how to move forward. Or the other possibility is that when such conversations are not taking place, people regularly follow down pathways that the broader culture suggests to them, which may satisfy to some degree or on some level, but have none of the life of heaven within them. You see what I'm saying? If these kinds of conversations aren't richly taking place and informing the deepest commitments and choices and values of our lives, before we know it, it's the conversation of the world that is informing us. We can fall into that deadly pattern of a formalized faith where we're here on Sabbaths and we're in the Word, but there's a disconnect, and what's actually shaping and forming our lives is the conversation of the world. And so these are the results of failing to engender high and elevated, wise conversation within the community. Ideally, we're going to turn here and look for a moment at the ideal. Ideally, all the things that threaten the community's integrity, all the problems that arise within it, all the very human needs that need to be addressed, as well as the hammering out of a clear vision of purpose and commitment as Christians in the face of shifting cultural patterns. All of this broad array of things ideally is taken up at the gate. Lips at the gate, elders at the gate, taking these things up, wrestling with them, praying them through, finding answers, finding vision, pointing past the pitfalls and onto the road that really brings life. All of this should be worked out, not just by one man, not just by the pastor wrestling in his study and with the Word of God, but by the community of elders, the leaders in the community coming together to wrestle these things through and find vital answers for the life of the people who come and sit in these pews. The elders at the gate. All of this is to be taken up by them and worked out for the good and the health of the whole community. It is by this means that the life of the community is constantly and regularly infused with wise words and sensible counsel. Lips at the gate and everywhere else, wise lips, wise counsel, wise words, that is what we need. Now we might profitably think of Jesus for just a moment. The Bible record tells us, and I didn't look these up, they're just in my memory, but I quote them here. It tells us that he increased in wisdom and power and in favor with God and man. There it is, that ascent to wisdom, that pursuit of wisdom that Proverbs set before us. It tells us, the gospel record tells us, that Jesus had pursued wisdom in that way. And then I think of the other quote from the Gospel of Mark that we've been looking at in prayer meetings on Wednesday night. The people marveled when they heard him speak. They said, he speaks as one with authority. Authority. There was tremendous power in the things that he said. It was the spirit of wisdom that was the source of that power. The spirit of wisdom. But in Jesus' day, in the Israel of his day, this had been lost sight of. And the leaders in the community, those who were at the gate, yes, they were there. But their discussion had broken down. Their discussion had gotten off track. They were discussing all right, but they had been horribly sidetracked into insignificant debates and external religious matters. Have you ever had a problem that burdened your heart deeply? And you finally worked up the courage to go and tell another fellow Christian about it. And the response you got was nothing but a mass of religious cliches. Do you know what I'm talking about? Religious words that don't penetrate to the real issue and don't really apply eye-opening, life-giving wisdom. That's what the Pharisees were good at. Just religious platitudes, religious words. They sounded good. They were even using scriptural language often. But they had failed to grasp that essential key of wisdom that gives life. This would have been lost in Jesus' day. They had no wisdom to offer up in the face of real human needs. They were bankrupt. But Jesus did have such wisdom, didn't he? He had done the hard thinking, the careful listening both to the Father and to men and women in distress, with difficulty, with problems. He had done that careful listening. He had counted wisdom as more precious than anything else. And because of this, he could speak with life-giving counsel. And so we've opened up this question of conversation within the community. And it seemed good to me, it seemed important to me at this juncture to step aside for a while from looking at these 9 lectures on wisdom, these appeals of wisdom in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, to step aside from that and to address more deeply the whole question of the kinds of conversations that are found within our community. And to ask this basic question: how well are we doing in this respect? What is the nature of the conversations that take place between us? We're going to explore that further in the future. There'll be a number of weeks before I occupy the pulpit again, but hopefully we can make the connection when I'm back here again. But we're going to explore this further, digging deep into Proverbs' discussion of the use of the mouth. But for now, I simply want to point out a cluster of verses that will help us answer the question of how well we're doing in this whole area of communication and conversation. And these verses help us answer that question by pointing out for us the sure and certain results of good conversation. You see, when good conversation takes place, when the highest quality of personal engagement one with another takes place, then there are certain things which always become present. And these verses that we're going to turn to now point out for us what those things are. Turn with me first to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, verse 14. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life. Do you know what the hunger of every human person is? I don't care who they are. I don't care where they've gone in life, where they've been, or where they're going. They are hungry for life. For the kind of life that only God can provide. The teaching of the wise can point them to that life. Teaching of the wise is a fountain of life. Turn back to chapter 10. Here we have a slight shift in the word used. In 13, we had the word teaching. Chapter 10, verse 11, it says, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life." Do you see the picture here? Do you see the possibility that you and I can actually learn to speak words that liberate people's lives, that set them free from their problems, that help them choose better paths, that ease the ache in the heart and give them hope? We can actually learn to speak those kinds of words. Words that are a fountain of life to others. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Look over in same chapter, chapter 10, over in verse 21. "The lips of the righteous feed many." Oh, it's a beautiful picture. The lips of the righteous feed many. We said that humanity hungers for life. And here we have that same idea. In the face of humanity's hunger, it's the lips of the righteous that can provide the food, the kind of food that humanity so desperately needs. The lips of the righteous feed many. Turn over to chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 24. "Pleasant words are a honeycomb." Any of you ever enjoyed a honeycomb? Or is still in those little wax cells that the bees have formed, and you bite into it and the sweetness just spreads through the whole of your mouth? "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." This idea of bones. You ever had a bone ache? Ever experienced what it feels like when a bone, especially if you've experienced broken bones, you know what a bone can ache like, don't you? But even if you don't have a broken bone, sometimes you get an ache down in the bone, and it's down in that deepest part of you, as it were. That's what the scripture's trying to say, that the deepest aches, the deepest problems, the most painful unmet longings of the soul, oh, pleasant words can touch those places. Sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. So then the question comes, are we conscious? Are we conscious of these things within our community? Are we sharing the kind of conversations together that leave us feeling that a veritable fountain of life has been opened up here in our midst? Do we know this? Do we experience this together, this sense of gushing water? Is there the impression that many are being fed and being fed with good food? Not just intellectual knowledge of doctrine and teaching, But food for the life, food for the soul, that leaves us feeling like we have found the answers, we have found solutions. Oh, it's not that the problems of life just go away, but there's a new courage, there's a new hope, there's a new strength, there's a purity that begins to take hold in the life. The bones are healed and there's sweetness and there's peace. Is there the impression amongst us that we are being fed in this way? Is our conversation together marked with sweetness? And does it bring healing to the deepest parts of our hearts and lives? We need to ask these questions seriously, so that we might take aim at elevated conversation. Conversation that feeds and informs and guides and instructs and helps those vitally and solidly helps those that are confused or stuck or frustrated or failing. Allow me to close with a quote from Bruce Waltke, a commentator on the book of Proverbs. He says this, "The dependence of life on water is experienced existentially all over the earth, especially in the ancient Near East, where it is in short supply. Flowing well water is particularly precious, and people gather around it." The open, benevolent speech of the righteous is just as necessary for a community offering everyone abundant life. Temporal, intellectual, moral, and spiritual. The right word spoken at the right time and in the right way supports or corrects a community in a way that promotes life. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we pray in our weakness, our shortcomings, our failings. We pray out of the places where we get caught up in the culture's patterns and not yours. We pray, Lord, that you will grab a hold of us with this vision of growing in our ability to share together the kind of conversations that elevate and liberate and bring healing and peace to our battered lives. In your name we pray. Amen.